The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
You know, there is no shortage of things to worry about these days for investors. The big question really is, how do we deal with these concerns and how do we position ourselves to come out on top? Well, helping me out this morning and on the line all the way from the United States is Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning.
Good morning.
Or good evening for you.
Thank you.
I understand you're going to be in Singapore on Thursday to moderate a panel discussion at a conference by the Securities Investors Association of Singapore. And the topic really is on the future of investing, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, since we're on that topic, a lot of noise in the markets these days. Could you walk us through how much more volatile markets are these days and really what does that mean for investors?
Sure. You know, the markets were pretty volatile from, say, the mid-90s to, say, 2006. And once you hit, say, 2006 to 2008, the markets were not hugely volatile until the financial crisis. We had a big spike in 2009, of course, and then another spike of volatility in 2011. Since then, although, you know, we hear a lot of the daily drama in markets, it really has not been all that volatile since about 2011 on a historical basis. Now, what's kept that fairly muted volatility is a lot of the money supply that's out there. Okay. So for every dollar that the U.S. grew its balance sheet, China grew their balance or their money supply by $5. So Asia has a lot more money circulating around it than the U.S. So that expanded money supply is really muting a lot of the volatility in markets. So I guess one of the things we need to, you know, be careful of is you hear a lot of talk about interest rates, but actually the money supply is a big consideration. As that money supply starts to be drawn down, it's possible that that tighter money equates to more volatility, if you remember the taper tantrum back in 2015.
Okay. Tony, I'd like to get your thoughts on what's driving the U.S.-China trade war right now.
If you think back to, so it just turned a year old last weekend.
Yeah.
And the reason it started really was U.S. concerns over subsidies and non-tariff barriers levied by the Chinese government, and this has been going on for 20-plus years, and also intellectual property protections. So, you know, I think from the U.S. perspective, the view was, look, we can raise tariffs by the amount that we estimate your company's benefit with subsidies and non-tariff barriers. So first they did 15, then they did 25. Okay, so what you see from the U.S. side is trying to level that playing field, level the benefits that the Chinese companies are getting from the Chinese government through subsidies and non-tariff barriers by raising the tariffs on the U.S. side. Now, what China produces largely are globally competitive goods. So many of those goods sent to the U.S. can be made pretty much anywhere in the world. Okay, so if you look at the top 10 exports from China to the U.S., you have things like wireless equipment and computers and electronic goods that are made in Vietnam and Mexico and Thailand and other places. You also have goods like luggage, office furniture, so on and so forth. And that stuff is also Vietnam. It can be Bangladesh. It can be a lot of other places. So China once had a very competitive, very lucrative position in world trade, but that's not the case anymore. As the infrastructure has been built up in places like Vietnam and other places, and as Mexico has benefited from the new USMCA, that's the kind of replacement for NAFTA, China's got to be really careful. Now, from the Chinese side, they've been able to do this for almost 20 years. So this was really a shock for them that the U.S. administration actually levied these tariffs. So when Trump was elected, I was called to the NDRC in Beijing to update them on what Trump's policies would likely be. When I explained these trade policies to them, they were shocked that the U.S. would actually levy these tariffs and that the U.S. was actually upset about trade. So, you know, the Chinese side was pretty unprepared and they're pretty shocked by the fact that this has come to pass. So, you know, it's I think at this point it's a fair bit of misunderstanding that they've tried to mend over the last year, but they're still pretty far apart.
On the line with me is Tony Nash, the CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, of course, will be in town on Thursday. He's moderating a panel discussion at a conference by the Securities Investors Association of Singapore. The topic really is the future of investing. Tony, we've talked about the currency and the amount of currency that's in the market, the race for intellectual property superiority with regards to the U.S.-China trade war, the tariffs that have been imposed. All of this, of course, you know, factors into trade war. What does trade war mean for investor portfolios?
I think if you're an investor in a company that's affected by the U.S.-China trade war, you have to take, I think, one of two positions. The first is that company is heavily invested in China and they can't manufacture those goods anywhere else. Okay. And in that case, then you trust the management team and you trust that they are in good shape and they've taken the actions that they can take. The other position, you know, we've known this was coming for 2 years. And so the other position is that management team should have prepared better. So I think there are a number of management teams that really need to be held accountable by investors because those management teams have not evolved their supply chains out of China. If China is the only place that these firms are manufacturing, then investors should really take a critical look at that management team and ask some hard questions.
Tony, you're going to be here in Singapore on Thursday. You're moderating a panel discussion at a conference by the Securities Investors Association of Singapore. The topic is on the future of investing. I've spoken to a couple of analysts and they say market volatility is like the new norm. Tony, I'd like to get your take. What do you think the future of investing is like?
Volatility will likely increase as the money supplies decrease, if they decrease, with, say, Christine Lagarde coming in into the ECB. I'm not necessarily sure that's going to happen. You'll likely have the U.S. moderately continue to cut its money supply. They've done so by about $800 billion over the last 2 years. But the other part is interest rates. The issue right now in global investing, especially in markets like Asia, is that the dollar is likely to continue to strengthen because there is globally a U.S. dollar shortage. And so for those companies who have taken out U.S. dollar debt, especially when the dollar was weak, they're going to have a tough time or they may have a tough time paying that back. And so that may contribute to corporate volatility. If individual firms have taken out a number of U.S. dollar loans, if you look, for example, at Indian firms now and the Indian government, they've been on a tear taking out U.S. dollar loans, you know, even recently as the dollars continue to appreciate. So investors really need to look at the volatility with those individual companies. But in terms of macroeconomic volatility, sure, especially in Asia, taking a look at China, for example, Japan, you know, in a number of other places, where is the growth? The real danger there is that China is the largest trading partner of every country in Asia.
Okay.
And if you look at an industry sector like automotive, it's declined by double digits this year. So there are real concerns about China from a macroeconomic perspective.
We've been speaking to Tony Nash. He is the CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, I understand you're headed to your wife's birthday dinner celebration right now. Well, on behalf of the Breakfast Huddle, wish her a very happy birthday. We hope you both enjoy your dinner in just a bit, yeah?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you in Singapore on Thursday. Take care, Tony.
Thank you. Have a great day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.